Father, we do thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Holy Spirit, we ask for you to teach us today. You are the teacher. We need your help. We need your instruction, and we're asking for it, and we believe that you will do that. Anoint our understanding. Give us comprehension. Cause us to see things we didn't know and understand before. Father, to know you more is to love you more, and we want to do that. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
On page 14, we're getting to the end of our study. Actually, this is the last page of our study on first fruits. I'm having a good eye. Page 14. Page 15 is what's called a Benjamin's portion. That's you know, Benjamin's portion. He got a little bit extra when Joseph told them to pack his bag when they were leaving Egypt. Benjamin got a little bit extra. So page 15 is a little bit extra. And then in a couple of weeks, Carmen's going to teach on us, to us, with us, and for us, and give us understanding of what your arable ground is. And that's going to be another part of the Benjamin portion that you're going to receive. So we are bringing this study to a conclusion. But part five, I've entitled Worshiping the Lord God with the First Fruits, Tithe, and Offerings. Okay? In this section, we will examine how we are to come before the Lord. A personal reflection. I want to have you to ask yourself this, okay? Is how I come to the Lord as important or even more important than what I bring to Him in worship? I think it's even more important. Remember when Jesus set a cross from the offering in the temple? And he said the widow who gave less than anyone else gave more. She gave from her heart. She gave with a worshipful attitude. It was truly worship for her. Okay? So how we come to the Lord is as important or even more important than what we bring to him in worship. He says to come informed, and boldly, to know why you're coming, why you get to come, and to come boldly. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Whoever has that for us, I will bring the microphone to where you are so you can read that. When you have it, if you will raise your hand. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 19, and there's so much here, it's really hard to leave any of it out. Verse 19 through 25. Okay, if you'll read it slowly, and let's follow along and listen. This is really important.
This is from the King James Version. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love with and to good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Okay. So, God wants us to be informed how we should come, to Him. He wants us to know why we get to come, and how we get to come, and that our coming to Him is acceptable. Okay, so that's where it's all going to start. So let's look at that. Let's break this down and let's look at this, okay? We're talking about how we come to the Lord. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. So we see there that we get to come how?
Boldly.
Because of what?
Blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. So, Father, I come to you boldly in the name of Jesus by his sacrifice. That's how we get to come. That's why I don't pray, Lord, accept our worship as we worship you today. Lord, accept our worship. Well, actually, it's an expression of our worship. I say, Lord, by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come boldly to you, and you said you would accept our worship. That's the only way you would. So, Father, we come boldly and give an expression of our worship, and I know that it's accepted to you because you said you would accept it if it was presented and we came to you, how?
Boldly
by the blood of Jesus. Okay? So there's some things you don't have to pray for God's acceptance if you're doing it the right way. If you're informed and you know how you come, it's already accepted. Maybe you've never heard that prayed before. I've heard it prayed in church, Lord, accept our worship today. Well, you need to back it up. How are you coming to him? If you know how you're coming to him, how you get to come, then it already is accepted. Okay? By his death, Jesus opened a new and living way. By his death, he brought in a new way of worship, right? Through the curtain into the most holy place. He went into the most holy place, didn't he? By his blood. Yes, he did. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. Okay? So, we have a high priest, who's a mediator, who stands between us and God. So when we come to God in worship, there's someone standing between our worship and God. Who is that?
Jesus.
He opened a better way. So you need to get this picture in your mind whenever you present your first fruits, your tithe, or your offerings, or an expression of your worship through singing, or praying in tongues, or dancing, or making intercession. Any way you express your worship, you need to picture in your mind that there is a mediator, there's a high priest. You're the priest. You're not the high priest. There's only one high priest. That's the Lord Jesus. You're the priest, and there's a high priest that stands between you and God. And you know what he does? The high priest takes your worship, your expression, your gifts, and he presents them to who?
God.
Isn't that what happened? Yes. Isn't that what happened in the Levitical law? Yes. The high priest, the priest brought in the sacrifice. The animal was killed outside, and the priest ministered in the temple to light the candles, to place the bread in its place, but only one got to go behind the veil. And that was the high priest, right? So all the offerings that had been presented to the priest on behalf of the people, and the priests themselves had to present offerings for their sin, didn't they? Even the high priest had to present offerings for himself and for the people. So he is a type and shadow of all of the offerings, sin offerings, peace offerings, burnt offerings, first fruits, tithe, all the offerings that were brought into the house of the Lord, placed in the priest's hand. The high priest then took it and ministered to God. He is a type of the Lord Jesus. He's saying here that God opened a better way. He went in behind the veil. And he opened a new and living way. A new and living way. A way that is alive. That keeps on living on and on and on and on. A new and a better way Christ opened up for us. Because every year, an animal had to be killed. No more animals have to be killed. No more animals have to be sacrificed. Because this new way lives on and on in Christ Jesus. You get that?
Yeah.
I know you do. And isn't that beautiful? And since we have this great high priest who rules over God's house, who rules over God's house? The high priest. Let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting him. So this is the answer to our question here. He says to come informed and boldly. Okay? He says we got to come right into his presence with a sincere heart, fully trusting that he's going to accept. He's going to accept us when we come. So God wants you to know you don't have to come with insecurity. You can come with security before God. You can come fully trusting that when you come before God and Christ is your mediator, everything you bring is going to be accepted to God when you come that way through the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting Him, for our guilty conscience had been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. That's past tense, saints. That's past tense. Okay? If you're coming in before God by the blood of Jesus and you have a guilty conscience, that's not God. That's not God. That's coming out of your unredeemed soul. That's coming from the enemy trying to pull up things from the past or even what happened an hour ago. No, listen. If we can wrap this, get our mind and wrap this. When I come by the blood of Jesus, what Christ did is applied to me when I come. So I say, God, I come with a clear conscience before you. I come, God, with boldness and a clear conscience and even having my very body, even my very flesh, my very being washed by the water of your word because I come in the name of my high priest, the Lord Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. You missed a good place to shout right there. Okay? Now, if we have sin in our life and we know it's sin, the Holy Spirit deals with us, then we confess that sin and He's faithful to do what?
Forgive.
To cleanse us. To forgive us and to cleanse us. So, if I'm out here, so to speak, and I want to come into the presence of God, I know we live in the presence of God, okay? But I want to present something to God. And I'm out here, and that's why preparing our gifts are so important. That's why we should spend more time in prayer before we take action. We should spend anything we need to act on in our life, we should spend at least double the amount of time in prayer about that before the time we spend acting on it. Okay, let's back up. If I'm going to act on something that's going to take me 5 minutes, I need to spend more than 10 minutes on it. If I'm going to act on something that's going to spend an hour, I need to spend 2 hours in prayer. I need to spend at least double the amount of time in prayer about something before I act on it. Okay, so if I'm preparing my gifts and what I'm going to do for the Lord, I'm preparing it. And He says, if you come to the altar and you bring a gift and you have aught against your brother, to do what?
Leave
your gift, go and make it right. Okay, so we have to deal with that part of it. Yes, we do come boldly by the blood of Jesus, but we got to make sure there's nothing in us that the devil can't pull anything up on us, because he'll try to pull something up on you. You got that? You understand what I'm saying? So you deal with it out here, and that's why it's good for some of us to get a diary, to mark it down when we dealt with it, and then when the enemy tries to bring it back up, no, I already dealt with that. I already dealt with that. Okay? So, if you're out here and you know you slip and you fall and you've sinned, to Him who knows to do good, you know it was a good thing to do and you didn't do it. You neglected it. It was a sin. To Him who knows to do good and does not do it, to Him it is a sin. That means you missed the mark. You missed the place where God wanted you to make a mark for Him, for His kingdom. Okay? So, when we do that, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, okay? And then when I come into the presence of God and I come to bring a gift, that is why I have purposed in my heart, my husband and I together, that we are going to prepare our giving before we come to the house of the Lord. I deal with it there. I deal with it there before God. I prepare it there, okay? So, I come into the presence of God. I can say, Lord, this is how I get to come. I come with a clear conscience. I come washing by the water of your word because I come in your name, Jesus. I come in your blood. I come in your sacrifice. See, it's already been done in Christ Jesus. If I come in His name, now Jesus, you're my mediator. Now you're my I'm coming to the Father, but you're my high priest, and you are the one who stands between me and the Father. See, we need to get our giving right. We need to get it right. Every time I bring my gifts, monetary gifts, or any other gift that I'm going to give away to the house of God, I need to pray. I need to give it to the Lord first. I need to give it to the Lord first, right? So Jesus, you're my mediator,
And now you take my, because of your blood, now and I get to come boldly with a clear conscience because of your sacrifice on my behalf. Now, Lord Jesus, now you ministered it perfectly to the Father. Would you want a man or a woman ministering your gift to the Father, or would you want the high priest?
The high priest.
Ooh, I want my high priest to minister. You know, because you know what, Miss Vertel, he knows exactly what the Father wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't pray exactly how I ought to pray. That's why I enjoy praying in the Spirit, because I don't know how to pray as I should pray. He makes intercession through me. Amen? And Jesus ever lives to make intercession for me. So sometimes I don't always know what the Father wants to hear. And Jesus is also there to defend me. See, I don't need to defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't have to. If you have to defend yourself, there's a problem in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem in the camp if you have to defend yourself. So see, when I come and I bring my gift and Jesus is standing right there as a mediator, and if there's anything the Father knows about me that's not right, but Jesus will say, oh, but Father now. Now, Father, the blood's been applied to her life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Father, I need to mediate for her. Are you getting the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Father, I'm here to mediate for her, Father. No, Father, I know, but the blood's been applied there, Lord. The blood's been applied. So I'm here to defend her
mm-hmm.
on her behalf. Because you know what, Father? This is just my verbiage here, the next few things I'm saying. I know, Father, that she'll make it right.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Holy Spirit, if you go and you minister to her, that she'll make it right. That she wants that. That she'll make it right. Do you see that?
Amen.
So, I want
to.
Yes, I want to always remember that everything I bring to God, I bring it to my mediator first. I know it seems like I'm going over and over and over and over again with this. I want you to really get it. It passes through somebody's hands before it gets to the Father. It passes through the high priest's hand before it gets to the Father. Okay, I know you got that. I'm just enjoying his presence right now and enjoying that he's ministering to me as I share that with you. So thank you for letting me enjoy his presence just then. Look, verse 22, let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood. Father, I fully trust that Christ's blood is sufficient to make us clean, to make our bodies have been washed with pure water. So he says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. That means when I come before him, I am guaranteed an entrance.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. I am guaranteed his attendance, his attention when I come before him. Did you get that?
Amen.
So it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us stir up those good works within others. Let me motivate you. Let me motivate you to good works so that the Lord Jesus can present those things to the Father on your behalf. Listen, when the Son does that for you and you get blessed by God, you ought to want to stir people up to good works, because you ought to want to see the body of Christ get blessed.
Amen.
You ought to want to see other people get blessed. Do not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of his return is drawing near. Let me stop right here. I meant to ask this earlier. I know that Anna and Jose are in Puerto Rico. We know concerning the Espinosas leaving to minister to that family. Noel got to minister to that father yesterday. Shirley.
Shirley is with Lenore. Her birthday is this week.
Okay.
Thank you. Church.
Okay, thank you. I did not know that, so forgive me for not addressing the asking about that earlier. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. So we know how we get to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know how we get to come, and we come bold. We don't come as a little coward. That's why, Lord, if you will, Lord, Jesus addressed to that. The man that came said, Lord, if you will, heal my servant.
Yeah.
If you can, Lord, heal my servant. Jesus said, I can and I will.
Mm-hmm.
Have faith. Believe. If you will believe, all things are possible. If you will believe. So we don't have to come to Christ. We should come to him. You know, it insults God when we don't come to him boldly and believing, because Christ paid the price. I don't come to Christ. I don't come to God as a little worm begging before him. I come boldly because of Christ. When I don't come the right way,
then it's either because I don't know how to come, we've learned how to come, right? Or it's because I don't really have trust and believe that He will answer me. I trust and believe that Christ's sacrifice was enough and God will answer me. I trust and believe that Christ's sacrifice was sufficient. He gives me an audience with the Father, and the Father will answer when I ask. Amen. I believe. If you're not going to believe, then don't pray.
See, Jesus was telling that guy, the ball's not in my court. I am who I am.
Right.
I'm going to do what I said I would do. It's up to you.
It. Amen.
If you believe it, I will do it.
Amen. Absolutely.
The ball's in your court.
Absolutely.
Well, Kathy, isn't that what prayer is all about, is communication with God?
Yes.
I heard this morning, Tony Evans was talking about prayer. And he said, you know, our biggest problem is we want to spend 3 minutes with God and the rest with man. Mm. You got to spend time with God, abiding with Him, asking Him, Lord, what is your agenda for this life that I now live in Christ Jesus today? Mm-hmm. And God can share that with you. When you're sitting there reading the Word, He's communicating with you. Mm-hmm. But if you're in such a big hurry, you miss it. He said that's what prayer is about, abiding. And I looked up the word abiding, and I kept saying, okay, well, that means, okay, this is your house, you abide in your house. Mm-hmm. You like your house.
Mm-hmm.
You clean your house.
Mm-hmm.
So you're comfortable with your house.
Mm-hmm.
So if you abiding with God, aren't you comfortable with Him? And you letting Him tell you, well, Carolyn, this is what I want you to do today. You can hear Him.
Yes.
But if you're so busy, oh, well, God, let me tell you something. I want you to do this for me today. And God, you know, I need you to move that person out of my way. Well, God's sitting there saying, well, if you're going to tell me what to do, I ain't going to say nothing to you.
Mm-hmm. You've already made up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad says, don't try to convince me with the evidence. I've already made up my mind.
Mm-hmm. So when he said that, and I thought about this pastor on the radio this past week, and he said, stop complaining to God when you pray. Mm-hmm. And I said, what? Well, you telling Him, well, God, you know, I need you to do this, and I need this, and I need... Well, that ain't praying. Because you ain't asking God, what is your agenda?
Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, speak to me about today.
Yes.
Worship Him. Mm-hmm. Begin by worshiping Him.
Yes.
In His presence, by worshiping and thanking Him for what He has done for you, what He has provided. Look around you and see what God has already done for you and already provided for you in your life.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was like, wow, Carolyn, wake up.
It's very important to hear the voice of God. One thing I learned years and years ago from Daniel Andreu is that when you're in a very difficult time, you don't make decisions, don't make rash decisions when you're in a difficult time. That is not a good time. You know, when we all have those times when we're struggling with decisions of which direction we need to go, what we need to do. I assume everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. You're going through a difficult time. That is when you do, in the middle of the storm, we call it, that is when you don't want to make a decision. You want to wait until you have a peace from God about the decision you need to make. Because if you make a hasty decision, not only could it affect your life, it could affect the life of others. Can anybody in here bear testimony of that?
Mm-hmm.
Any decisions you've made in life, and you made in the middle of a storm, you made a hasty decision. And thank God for His mercy that sometimes I wanted to make hasty decisions and He blocked it. I thank God for doing that.
Think about this, Kathy. When you have a financial need, and the first thing you do is say, well, you know what, I need to go to this loan company. It doesn't matter what the interest rate is. I need this money right now. You go there, and next thing you know, you can't even afford to pay the payments.
Mm-hmm.
Done that, been there, out of there, because...
Out of there, you said, out of there.
Oh, it's something, because the interest rates are so high. Just like Title Max and all these other things, you know. And my child did that a couple
well, last year sometime, and I was screaming the whole time. And he said, Mama, just be calm. I'm going to get out of this, and I don't want them calling your house no more. I said, that's right. I said, because, Sean, guess what? You paying the highest interest rate you could ever think of. Mm-hmm. Once he got out of it, he realized, and he said, Mama, we ain't going through that no more.
Amen. Thank God for wisdom.
Yeah.
Because if we don't learn from it and return to it again, what does God say that's like? What does God say that's like? Yeah, like a dog going back to their own vomit. If you ever seen that, that's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Got to learn from our mistakes. Got to be willing to learn, have a teachable heart. God will work with a teachable heart and a humble person. He says he will not deny. Doesn't he say that?
Yeah.
He says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy. Did you have something to say, Carmen?
No, I was just thinking the last 2 weeks, I just really kept thinking about the person that always thinks that they're right and always says, I already know that. Mm-hmm. They're not teachable. Mm-hmm. All right, and then I thought, you know, it's very common sense. Why are they not teachable? Because they know they're
right.
Yeah, they think. They know. They've already convinced themselves in their soul
they're right. So how can they be teachable?
They can't.
Because they know they're right.
Yeah.
They think they know everything.
Yeah.
But that's a foolish man.
Yes. And even if you are very knowledgeable in certain areas, there is always room to at least listen to the other because, oh my gosh, I know a lot about children. That's my study. Oh, my God. I love psychology. But I can't sit there and say I know everything, and I don't want to. I always want to listen, and because, oh, my, you grow. Mm-hmm. You keep growing. You don't know everything.
That's right. That's how you learn.
So somebody thinks they're right, they are not teachable.
That's not a spirit of God.
They've closed the door. Mm-hmm. They don't even a lot of times realize that they've closed the door, but they've closed the door. Mm-hmm. And they're not teachable. And I tell myself, you can really prove that point, again, reiterating, because they think they're... So if you think you're right, you're not going to want to learn anything else. Closed up.
That's right.
You closed up.
That's right.
And that God calls them foolish.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. And Jesus has something to say about that, too. He said to the Pharisees and the scribes and religious leaders that came to him, he said, I could help you if you realize you had a need, but because you think you're all right, there's nothing I can do for you.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I could help you if you realized that you needed help. Mm-hmm. But because you say, I do not need help, I have, they said, we have Abraham to our father. Abraham is our father. He said, because you think you're that good, that you're good and you're all right, then there's nothing I can do for you.
Yeah.
And they stayed in their same condition. It even actually led to the condition of them crucifying, being instrumental in crucifying Christ, their Savior.
Yes.
Dangerous.
Yet he backed it up again when he said, when they asked him certain questions, because that's why he would say, because he knew they weren't teachable. Have you not read? Mm-hmm. Or you follow Abraham, you follow Moses, so you know the answer because didn't you read?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, they weren't teachable.
No. That's one thing to read the Word of God or even quote the Word of God, but it's another thing to let it change your life.
Yes.
And you know that you are teachable if your life is changing. I mean, if you're walking in new things that you didn't understand before, if you're allowing people to pour into your life, then you know you're teachable. But if you're walking in the same light that you walked in last year or 2 or 3 years ago, then that's a sign that we are not teachable because we're not gaining new knowledge of who he is. And we don't want that spirit. We don't want that attitude in us. We do not. That will end up to be our destruction if we keep that attitude. Consider Deuteronomy 26. Did you get there yet?
Mm-hmm.
I know you got there yet. Okay, so we're talking about how we come before God. being just as important as what we bring. Okay? Okay? Now, who has Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 10? That we'll read that for us, and then we're going to break that down. We'll see how far we get to go with that today. Who's got it? Tell me, raise your hand when you got it. Okay, Denise? What translation are you reading from?
International.
Okay.
NIV, sorry.
NIV.
Okay. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God has chosen, will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say, is giving you, and put them in a basket. Okay. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Armenian, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and signs and wonders. He brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I will bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord of your God and bow down before him.
Okay. Amen. Sorry. So let's break. That's good. Let's break this down. We are reminding you, we're studying how we come into the presence of God. This is just as important as what we bring. Okay. This is why we go through the process of speaking God's word, God's blessing over what we bring to the Lord in worship. Okay? Look there under that bold print. Consider Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 10. Let's look at the first point. Prepare your giving and your heart before you come into his presence. In other words, don't wait till you get to church. Look at verse 2. Let's go back to verse 1, but I'm going to focus on verse 2. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you as a special possession, and when you have conquered it and settled there. Okay? He was speaking to the Hebrew people, the promised land. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have come into the promised land. You got that? If you're in Christ Jesus, you have come into the promised land. Amen? You've got a down payment of what's going to come, and that's the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is going to be the one who's going to change our bodies in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to go be with the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to come into our inheritance, our eternal inheritance with the Lord. Okay? But if you're in Christ Jesus, spiritually, you have come into the promised land already.
Okay.
If you're in Christ Jesus. Okay? Do we have that?
Yes.
We're not waiting for it to come. We're in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay? So, he says first. So, let's look at the natural process they went through and how it applies to us. Okay? So, he's saying, okay, you came into the promised land, Israelites. And this is what you to do. Put some of the first produce from each crop you harvest into a basket and bring it into the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Okay? They had to do that before. They had to prepare it and put it in the basket before they did what? Before they come into the house of God. So this is why I say to you, prepare your giving before you come into the house of the Lord. There are some things you might want to say to the Lord, or you need to say to the Lord before you get here. They might not be said over your giving when you get here, but you need to say it to the Lord. First of all, you need to thank him for your paycheck.
Amen.
Now, you need to put that paycheck, if you can put it in your hand, your stub in your hand. If you can't put it in your hand, then write out what it was. Put it on a piece of paper. And I'm telling you, I am not asking or teaching you anything that I do not practice myself. Because you know why? God will stamp me a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Dean and I did it last night. Took it, put it in our hands. Sometimes I pray over it, sometimes he prays over it. Okay? Put it in our hands, and we thank God for our paycheck. We ask for wisdom for our employer, to bless our employer. God help them to do the right thing by you. So that business will be blessed. So we'll be blessed through that business. But Father, they're not the source. But yet we don't neglect to pray for our employer. Okay? We put it in our hand, and then we have our gifts right there in our hand. And we pray over our giving before we bring it into the house of the Lord. Just like God instructed them. You prepare it. You put it in the basket. You bring it to the house of the Lord. Okay? So what is our point here? Prepare your giving in your heart. Pray over it. Prepare your giving in your heart before you come into His presence. Verse 2, you are coming into His presence. We do realize that, right?
Yes.
To the place of worship, the place your God chose for His name to be honored. I can say with all surety, this is a place that God has opened up for us to worship.
Yes.
I can say with all surety that I come here every day in the name of the Lord to worship, to present my expressions of worship to Him. Can't you say that?
Yes.
So this is a place where the God has decided to put His name in His presence. Amen.
Amen.
It was just as much there when we were out on Rima Pond Road in the tent under the trees.
Yes.
Amen.
That was a nice thing.
That's right. Okay. See, that's a happy thing. See, that was a happy song. Okay. Verse, next point. Look at your next little point. These above mentioned expressions of worship. What above mentioned expressions of worship am I speaking of? I didn't take the time to write that back out again. The first fruits. We are commanded by God to honor the first fruits. Your tithe, we're commanded by God. It's not our tithe. The tithe belongs to the Lord. He also says you bring the first fruits. The first fruits is God. Why it belongs to God? Why? Why do I say that? Because it's holy and it's set apart to God. So is the tithe. And then the offerings would be anything over that. Our giving of alms, our giving of missions, right?
Amen.
Our helping someone in need.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay? Israel, giving to Israel. All the things that we give to, our shoe boxes that we send off. Okay? All of these. Okay, these are these expressions of worship. Okay? These above mentioned expressions of worship are to come to the house of the Lord, the church. They don't go to the TV evangelist. They don't go to the insurance company. Come on now. They come into the house of the Lord. The place where the church, the place where the Lord your God chooses for His name to be honored. That's verse 2. That's where they go. Okay? Number 3, third point. And we just read that in verse 2, so I'm not going to read that again. Next point, we must understand who we are coming before.
Mm-hmm.
Who we are coming before. We are coming before God Almighty, our Father, and we're coming in the name of who?
Jesus,
our mediator, who stands between us and the Father. And we also must know what we are to say to Him. We are to say something to the Lord when we come.
Yes.
Okay, how would you like it if somebody gave you a birthday gift here? You can keep it. I remember a speech class in school, and they were saying, we were talking about different ways. It's not, my mom would always say this to me. She would correct me, and thank God I've learned. I'm still learning, and now my husband is taking that place of my mom to teach me when I slip up and don't do it the right way. Thank God for my husband who corrects me in love. But my mom would always say, "Honey, it's not what you said, but it's the way you said it.
That's right. Yes.
The way you said it is important as what you said. What we say to the Father is as important as what we do when we offer our expressions of worship. It's just as important. So in speech class, we were talking about, when I was in college, we were talking about, okay, how you can say one thing but can have a total different meaning. Mm-hmm. So I just felt a little creative, so it was my turn to stand up. So I just felt a little creative. I was like, we're talking about I love you, saying I love you. The difference, okay? This. I love you. Now, did you get any love in that?
No. It was almost a question mark.
Yeah, that was critical. Mm-hmm. There's a difference in saying, I love you. Oh, I just love you.
She got more sweets when she
said. Now, did you feel something different in that?
Yes.
Did that lift up your soul? Did that edify you?
Yes.
The first one's like, why in the world do you think I would love you? Mm-hmm. And the next one's like an expression of genuine love. See, so it's not just what we say. It's how we say it. When we don't say it from a sincere heart, or we don't do it from a sincere heart, the Word God tells us we're like clanging brass.
Yeah.
I see that picture of that little monkey. You ever saw that little monkey?
Yes.
They wind up, and that monkey stand there with the cymbals just going, making noise. That's all you are. That's all we are when we don't do it with a sincere heart.
Yeah.
We're like clanging brass, just making a noise. And I will say not all you are, all we are, because the thumb, when the preacher is preaching, the thumb comes back right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all we are if we don't do it with a sincere heart in the right way. So the Lord knows He knows the sincerity of our heart, and we have to start somewhere. We have to start with realizing that Christ is our mediator, and that when we stand between Him, when He stands between us and God, that He will teach us, He will mediate for us, He will help us to get the things that aren't right in our life, He'll help us to get them right, okay? So let's look at this. We must understand who we are coming before and what we say to Him, and also what He does with what we present to Him. Three things we need to understand. Who we're coming before, what we say to Him, and what does He do with our gifts? What did the high priest do with the gifts back then? See, it was important to God. God gave these instructions to Moses, and God said, this is how it's going to be followed, Moses. This is how you're going to do it. Okay? Has God done away with that? No, He hasn't. It's been fulfilled in Christ. But that doesn't mean it's been done away with. Okay, so let's look at it. Are y'all still with me? Are y'all good?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3 through 4. Okay, let's look at it together. Go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, say. Now remember, we don't go to a priest. Who do we present our gifts to?
Jesus.
Our high priest, Jesus. And He presents them to who?
The Father.
God. Okay. So go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, with this gift I acknowledge to the Lord your God that I have entered the land He swore to our ancestors that He would give us. Okay? And it's not just the Lord your God, priest. It's the Lord my God.
Mm-hmm.
See how it's been fulfilled in Christ? Let's read that again. Go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, with this gift I do what?
I acknowledge,
God, that I have come into the land that You have promised me. That's why I said this morning, before we gave our gifts, Father, You have brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have brought us into a covenant with the Jews. You have made a new covenant, a better covenant in Christ Jesus. Did you get that this morning when I prayed over that? I'm acknowledging that God has brought me into the promised land. That's my promised land. To have a covenant with God is your promised land. Now, Lord, I have a covenant with You. Now, Father, You said in the covenant with You that I could ask, that I could come boldly and I could ask. And, Lord, whoever needs to be providing in my situation, stir them up, Lord. Stir them up. Whoever else is a part of this that's not acting, Lord, stir them up. Stir them up to good works, Lord. Okay, so you go to the priest and you say this. You acknowledge that who is the source of your life? Who is the source of your blessings? The Lord. He's saying the Lord. I acknowledge to the Lord. your God, that I have entered the land He swore to our ancestors to give us, that I am blessed by You, God. For them to enter the promised land was a blessing. So they're saying, God, I acknowledge You're the blesser of my life.
Yeah.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
I acknowledge, God, that You're the blesser of my life. Okay? So that's what we say when we're preparing our gifts before we come to church. You're not going to say it exactly like that, but you're going to put it in your own words. You're going to say, Lord, You're the blesser of my life. Yeah. The priest will then take the basket from your hand and set it before the altar of the Lord your God. The priest. That's why I told you. Now, who takes our expressions of worship and presents them before the Lord God Almighty? Our high priest, Jesus. See how that's fulfilled in Christ? Now, the priest takes that basket. They say something to about the Lord in the presence of the priest. The priest has a responsibility. He takes it and presents it to the Lord God Almighty. And that's what the Lord Jesus does for us. He presents it to the Father. Boy, I sure do wish more of the saints were here today to hear this. But they can get online and hear it. I hope that they will. All I can do is encourage them to do that. Okay. Because, I mean, this is just so rich.
Amen.
This is just so rich. This is the spice. This is the spice in my chili. This is the spice in my chili. Amen?
Amen.
Because you know why? It's a sad thing in life when our worship becomes dull and plain.
Yeah, yeah.
This puts life in my worship.
Yeah.
It puts life in my worship because I understand who I'm giving. I'm not giving it to the church. I'm giving it to my high priest. And you know what? He is responsible. He will administer it by the power of the Holy Spirit where it needs to go. And if it doesn't get used right, He'll take care of it.
Right.
He'll handle it. It's not my business. Like Tammy used to say, that's not my business. Tammy, something recently, the Lord working in Tammy's life and showing her things and giving her revelation. That's not my concern. That's the Lord's concern. That's a good thing. You know, I remember Danielle used to teach the youth girls. And I think the verse is in Timothy. I'm not sure where it is. But make it your ambition in life to mind your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Make it your ambition in life not to be a busybody and a meddlesome person. You know, we got enough business to take care of ourselves. We don't need to try to take care of somebody else's business. Amen, Selah. Jesus is our high priest. Let's go to Hebrews 8, and I'm going to wrap it up for today. I know y'all. Hebrews 8. I would like to, if y'all will endure with me, I would like to finish this page today. I really would if you'll endure with me, okay? Endure with me. Jesus is our high priest. Here's your proof. You didn't need proof, but here it is. Hebrews 8, I'm going to go ahead and read this. Verse 1 through 6. Here is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. You have a high priest that sat down in the place of honor. Look, the high priest that's presenting your expressions of worship to the Father. He's received the highest form of honor that a high priest could ever receive. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And you thought your money was just staying in the church. It's not just staying in the church. He presents it to the Heavenly Father, to the heavenly tabernacle. First fruits, tithe, and giving of offerings is a spiritual matter. It's not a physical thing. That's why we can't get mad at people in the church when they don't use... We try to do the right thing and give you a report. And be honest with you and spend the money the right way. But you got to realize if you gave it with a sincere heart, even if you gave it to someone that told you they had a need and you felt like God moved on you to do it and they didn't do the right thing with that money, you can't get mad at them. You can't get upset with them. You know why? You gave it to heaven.
Amen.
If you now maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't give it to heaven. If you went through your high priest and he's the high priest, you minister this to the Father and he takes it straight to heaven, you gave it to the Father. Come on now. Let's go back to reading.
You're still blessed.
That's right. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle. That's where your gift goes. Well, God don't need money in heaven. Well, I don't know what it gets converted to when it gets there. No, he doesn't need money in heaven. It takes money on earth to do the work of the Lord. But there's a spiritual reward that comes for it. I was just tongue-in-cheek when I said I don't know what he converts it to. That was just trying to make a funny there. The truth is that it's a spiritual matter. You know what gets added? Righteousness gets added to your account.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Upright living. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But your righteous way of living here on earth draws other people to Christ.
Amen.
And that's what's added to your life, that people saw Jesus in you and turned to the Lord. Now, that's good preaching, Holy Ghost. I'm going to share that again because that's a fresh revelation, and I just got that.
Amen.
The righteousness of God has already been added to my account in Christ Jesus, but my righteous deeds produce righteous works in my life and cause people to follow Jesus and come to the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's what's added to my eternal account, that I won someone to the Lord.
Yes. 2 Corinthians.
Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So, Holy Spirit, get me back on track. Where was I? The true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifice, our high priest must take an offering too. What did he take? What did our high priest take? His own life, the blood, and place it on the mercy seat. If he were here on earth, he would not be a priest. Since there already are priests who offer gifts required by the law, they serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. Warning, be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain.
Yes.
Why? I'm so glad you asked. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. He is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. Glory to God. And we're going to get into some of those benefits. I won't get into them today. We're going to get into some of those promises and those benefits. See, that's why the Father said, Moses, this is a warning. This is a warning, my servant Moses. You build this tabernacle exactly like I told you, exactly like the pattern that's in heaven, because it's a copy of something I'm going to make real, a reality. That's why he's the real high priest. That was just a shadow of a better to come. He fulfilled it. Amen?
Amen.
He is the perfect high priest. Glory to God. That's why he wasn't worried about them questioning his authority. He knew by what authority he did what and what he was going to do. Glory to God. I just encourage you to meditate on this. He's our high priest. Okay, what do we say to the Lord? What is our confession of faith? Verse 5 through 10. Go back to Deuteronomy, verse 5 through 10. What do we say to the Lord? We know how we get to come. We know who we're coming to. But what do we say to him? Let's convert this over into how it applies to us today. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
You still with me?
Yes.
Okay. 5 through 10, back in Deuteronomy 26. You must say in the presence of the Lord your God, my ancestor Jacob was a wandering Armenian who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin and bondage. You got that? Sin is bondage. Whatever holds you is your master. What is sin is whatever holds you in bondage is your master. It has control over you. His family arrived few in number, but in Egypt they became a large and mighty nation. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us by making us their slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries, saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a strong hand and a powerful arm. Is that not what God did for us in Christ Jesus? Did God deliver us from the bondage of sin in Christ Jesus? And did he do it with a powerful arm?
Yes.
That's worthy of a greater praise. Did God do it with a powerful arm?
Yes.
Amen, he did. He did it with a powerful arm. So the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a strong arm and powerful arm and with overwhelming terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. When he rose from the dead, did he demonstrate himself with signs and wonders?
Amen.
Yes, he did. He brought us up to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now, O God, I have brought you the first portion of the harvest you have given me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God and bow to the ground and worship him there. So you say something with your mouth to God. We're not going to say this necessarily. We're going to say that God brought us out of darkness into light. He brought us out of sin is no longer our master, no longer controls us, but Christ is a master of our life. And then he says, and you talk about enjoyment. Look at verse 11. Afterward, you may go and celebrate because of all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Woo! Then he says, now you get to go and celebrate. Now you get to go and celebrate. And he says, remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration. He adds that. Don't forget to remember those who have made a contribution to your life or have a need in their life. Okay? Now, what does our confession reveal about our heart? Selah. What does our confession reveal about our heart? That's a rhetorical question. That's for you to answer on your own. What does your confession, what comes out of your mouth, reveal about your heart? This is a Christian's confession. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all bear with me. You're being so good. Oh, you've been so good to bear with me. I just want to wrap this up. Thank you. Thank you so much for just bearing with me today. I'm not rushing through. I don't feel like I'm rushing through. But there's sometimes you have to hit the point right there. As Carmen says, you have to strike when the iron is hot. The iron is hot and I need to strike. I need to do it now. Amen. Oh, goodness. I'm going to find it. The book of Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 11. This is our confession. Now, this is not all. This is not concise. This is not the end of the matter. You get your confession before God. You get it before God. You dig it out. I'm just giving you this as a confession. Okay? This is what I enjoy confessing. Okay? Because I have a connection to the people of covenant. I have a connection to the Jews, people of covenant. I have a connection with them. You know you have a connection with them, right?
Yes.
You better know you have a connection with them. You have a connection. Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 22. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their body and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you didn't know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. This is what we say to the Lord before we present our expressions of worship. This is what we say to him. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its requirements and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Did you hear me pray that this morning?
Mm-hmm.
I prayed that. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And the hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you, Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. See, they had no peace in their life because it was a circumcision of the flesh and not of the heart. See, only a circumcision of the heart will bring peace. And now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling, where God lives by his Spirit. in a nutshell, when I prepare my heart, what do I say to him? Lord, I was once outside of your covenant. I was once in bondage in this world to sin. But now I have come into covenant with you by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now I have a covenant with you, God. And you just put that in your own words. Read it until you get it into your heart and put it into your own words. This is a Christian's confession. Something like this that needs to be confessed over your giving. So now, Lord, because you've done that for me as an expression of my worship, I present to you, I give to you, Lord, as expression of my worship. Amen. Because this is what I have to say to you, Lord. This is what I have to say. Thank you for what you did for me. Now I have a token. Now I'm presenting you an expression of my gratitude. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So in conclusion to our study, we should gather that we worship a good God.
Amen.
The Father of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father desires us to be like Him, worshiping with a good eye, full of light, and being benevolent toward Him and others. Amen.